This is chapter 23 of The Westing Game, Strange Answers. Lawyer Plum was there and one pair of heirs when Otis Amber danced into the game room. Hee hee hee, the turtle's lost its tail, I see. Turtle slumped low in her chair. Flora Bomback thought the short, sleek haircut was adorable, especially the way it swept forward over her little chin. But Turtle did not want to look adorable. She wanted to look mean. The dressmaker fumbled past the wad of money in her handbag. Here, Alice, I thought you might like to see this. Turtle glanced at the old snapshot. It's Baba, all right, except younger. Same dumb smile. Suddenly, she sat upright. That's my daughter, Rosalie, Flora Bomback said. She must have been 9 or 10 when that picture was taken. Rosalie was squat and square and squinty. Her protruding tongue was too large for her mouth. Her head lolled to one side. I think I would have liked her, Baba, Turtle said. Rosalie looks like she was a happy person. She must have been very nice to have around. Thump, 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 thump. Here comes the victim, Sadel Pulaski announced. Angela greeted her sister with a wave of her crimson-streaked healing hand. Turtle had convinced her not to confess. It would mean a criminal record. It would kill their mother. And no one would believe her anyhow. I like your haircut. Thanks, Turtle replied. Now Angela had to love her forever. Most of the heirs had to comment on Turtle's hair. You look like a real businesswoman, Sandy said. Well, that's an improvement, Denton Deer said. You look nice, Chris said. Only Theo, bent over the chessboard, said nothing. White had moved the king's bishop since the last meeting. It was his move. At last, the stairs turned from Turtle's hair to a more surprising sight. Judge Ford strode in as regally as an African princess, her noble head swathed in a turban, her tall body draped in yards of hand-printed cloth. She slipped a note to Denton Deer, then sailed to her place at table 4. Goggle-eyed Otis Amber was speechless. They all were, except for Sandy. Gee, that's a nifty outfit, Judge. Is that what you call ethnic? The judge did not reply. Applaud, the local hero has arrived. Doug raised his arms, pointing his index fingers to the flaking gilt ceiling in the I'm number one sign, and acknowledged the clapping with the victory lap around the room. Here comes the Wexlers, Mr. Who remarked, seating his puzzled wife at table 1. Turtle exchanged an anxious glance with Angela. The last time they saw their mother, she was crying her head off. Now the tears were gone from her bleary eyes, but she was staggering, giggling, her hair was a mess. Sorry we're late, Jake apologized. We lost track of time. They had been clinking wine glasses in a small cafe, the cafe they used to go before they were married, toasting good times. They had many good times together, many good memories shared. It seems 3 big wine bottles full. Happy Grace waved at the heirs. She felt so wonderful, so overflowing with love for Jake, for everybody. Hi, Mom, Turtle called. Grace blinked at a young, short-haired girl. Who's that? Jake greeted his partner with, how are you this fine day? Doug Wynn, replied Madam Who. Having opened the door to the last of the heirs, a tense and troubled crow took her seat next to Otis Amber. Ghost threatened. She waited for the unseen. Hey, lawyer, can we open these? Otis Amber shouted, waving an envelope. A similar envelope lay on each table. His forehead creased with uncertainty. Ed Plumb fumbled through his papers. I guess so, was his opinion. Cheers erupted as the heirs withdrew the checks. Again, Judge Ford signed her name to $10,000 check and handed it to the doorman. Here you are. Pardon me. Here you are, Mr. McSuthers. This should tide you over until you find another job. Sandy's heartfelt thanks were muffled by Sadel Pulaski's loud, shh, shh, Grace Wexler mimicked. Then she dropped her head into her crossed arms on the table and fell asleep to the sound of the lawyer's throat-clearing coughs. 12th. Welcome again to the Westinghouse. By now you have received a second check for $10,000. Before the day is done, you may have won much, much more. Table by table, each pair will be called to give one, and only one, answer. The lawyer will record your response in case of a dispute. He does not know the answer. It is up to you. Number 1. Madam Sunlin Hu, cook. Jake Wexler, bookie. Bookie? He really must have been distracted when he signed that receipt. Jake studied the 5 clues on the table. Of America and God above. Even knowing his wife's clues didn't help. He'd have to gamble on a long shot. Say something, he said to his partner. Boom, said Madam Hu. Ed Plum wrote, Table 1, boom. Flora Bombach, number 2. Flora Bombach, dressmaker. Turtle Wexler, financier. Turtle read a prepared statement. In spite of the fact that the stock market dropped 30 points since we received our $10,000, we have increased our capital to $11,587.50, an appreciation of 27.8% calculated on an annual basis. Flora Bombach slapped a wad of bills on the table and 2 clinking quarters. In cash, she said. Ed Plum asked them to repeat their answer. Table 2's answer is $11,587.50. Turtle applauded. Sandy applauded. Turtle took a bow. 3. Christos Theodorakis, ornithologist. Denton Deere, intern. Ornithologist? His brother must have given him that fancy title when he filled in the receipt. Maybe he would become an ornithologist someday. He was a lucky person, getting that medicine and all. He didn't want to accuse anybody, not Judge Ford, Apartment 4D, not Otis Grain Amber, not the limper, just about everybody limped at one time or other. They, Sandy, was limping. I think Mr. Westing is a good man, Chris said aloud. I think his last wish was to do good deeds. He gave me a partner who helped me. He gave everybody the perfect partner to make friends. What is Table 3's answer? The lawyer asked. Denton Deere replied, Our answer is, Mr. Westing was a good man. 4. J.J. Ford, judge. Alexander McSuthers, fired. We don't have an answer, the doorman responded as planned. The judge looked at Table 3. Denton Deere, her note in his hand, shook his head, which meant no. Otis Amber has not had plastic surgery done on his face. The judge turned to Table 6. Otis Amber could not be Sam Westing. She was right to have trusted him. But Crow is expecting something to happen. Crow knows she's the answer. She knows she is the one. 5. Gracie Winkloppel Wexler, restaurateur. James Hu, inventor. Grace raised her head. Did someone say Winkloppel? Never mind, Winkloppel. It's our turn, Hu snarled. The lawyer got names and positions all fouled up. Now I've got a drunk for a partner. He prodded Grace to her feet. Faces were swirling. The floor was swaying. Grace grabbed the edge of the floating table and gave her answer in a thick, slurred voice. The newly decorated restaurant, Who's On First, the eatery of athletes, will hold its grand reopening on Sunday. Specialty of the day? Fruited sea bass on purple waves. Grace sat down where the chair wasn't. Turtle gasped. Angela looked away. The airs tittered as Jake helped his wife up from the floor. What is Table 5's answer, please? The lawyer pressed. Ed Plum, said Mr. Hu. Yes, sir. That's our answer, Ed Plum. Oh. 6. Bertha Erica Crow, mother. Otis Amber, deliverer. Mother? Did I write mother? Crow mumbled. Is that your answer? Ed Plum asked. I don't know, Otis Amber replied. Is mother our answer, Crow? He could have sworn she had again signed the receipt. Seat, Good Salvation Soup Kitchen. Crow repeated, Mother, And that's what the lawyer wrote down. 7. Douglas Who, Champ. Theo Theodorakis, Writer. Their clues, a chemical formula for an explosive and the letters Otis. Doug, basking in glory, didn't care. Theo stood, turned to the man he was about to accuse, and saw the scene in the soup kitchen. Saw Otis Amber cooking soup for the dirty, hungry men. No answer, Theo said, sitting down. 8. Sidel Pulaski, victim. Angela Wexler, person. Sidel was dressed for the occasion in red and white stripes, leaning on crutches decorated with white stars on a field of blue to match the cast on her ankle. She hummed into a pitch pipe and began to sing one note above the pitch she played. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. What a spectacle she made, her wide rear end sticking out, singing in that tuneless nasal voice. The derisive smile soon faded as pair by pair, the heirs heard their code words sung. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Such a beautiful song, Grace Wexler slurred, but the others sat in somber silence. Even Turtle thought Table 8 had won. What is your answer? Ed Plum asked. Our answer, Sidel Pulaski announced with certainty, is Otis Amber. Their heirs listened to the lawyer read the next document, but their eyes stayed fixed on Table 8's answer, Otis Amber. 13th. Okay, folks, there will be a short break before the big winner is announced. Bertha Erica Crowe, please rise and go to the kitchen for refreshments. Dazed with fear, Crowe rose. The 13th section, 13, was an unlucky number. Judge Ford told Sandy to follow her. Hey, Crowe, old pal, do me a favor and fill this for me, he said, handing her his flask as they left through the door. I'll go on the wagon starting tomorrow, promise. Angela left the room, too, concerned over Crow's trance-like state. Turtle followed Angela to make sure she didn't end up in the fireworks room again. The judge remained seated, watching the remaining heirs who were watching Otis Amber. The delivery boy had had enough of their suspicions. He swept a pointed finger across their range, imitating the sound of a machine gun. Rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat. Crow and Angela came back with two large trays. Turtle returned empty-handed. Puzzled, but much relieved. The judge joined Denton Deer and Chris at table 3, bringing a plate of small cakes with her. None of the heirs have had plastic surgery, as far as I can tell, the intern remarked, but your partner could have used some. The judge studied Sandy McSouther's prizefighter's face as he leaned against the open doorway. Their eyes met and he lifted his flask in salute. Anybody want a drink? Sure, Grace Wexler replied with a giggle, but Jake gave her a cup of strong black coffee instead. You must keep our wits about us, Mr. McSouthers, Judge Ford said, walking toward him. Sam Westing has not made his final move. Nothing like scotch to clear the head, he replied. He took a long swig, coughed, wiped his mouth on the sleeve of his uniform, and glared at Crow with narrowed, watery eyes. Theo grinned down at the chess table. White had made another move, a careless move. He licked the cake crumbs from his fingers, wiped his hand on a Westing paper tea napkin, and took his opponent's queen from the board. At least he had won the chess game. Perched on the corner of table 8, the young lawyer tried to start a conversation with Angela, ignoring Sidel Pulaski, who twice asked, "Surely you must have the answer, Mr. Plum," she nudged her partner. "Surely you must have the answer, Mr. Plum," Angela repeated sweetly. "Oh, of course. At least, I assume I do," he replied. "My instructions are to open the documents one by one at the scheduled time." He checked his watch. Oops, he was 1 minute late. Ed Plum hurried to the billiard table, tore open the next envelope and pulled out the document, cutting his finger on the paper's edge. 14th, go directly to the library. Do not pass go. That ends chapter 23 of The Westing Game.